Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to talk today about the new creation that Paul was boasting about this past Sunday. St. Paul, in the second reading we were given at Mass, Paul reminds us all that what matters most is not our position in the world or even our religious history and background. In his case, he's talking to the community where there's a battle going on. Jewish converts, some Jews who received Jesus as the Messiah, were insisting that the Gentile converts needed to be circumcised and practice various laws, the dietary laws, other things that were part of Jewish life, the Jewish distinctives, the people of Israel that defined them. And Paul was upset because what he had preached, they had begun to turn their back on, some of those folks. And the reality of what he preached was that what matters now, what matters most is not circumcision. It's not the external signs that define a people. But what matters now is faith and faith in the Son of God. Because of what faith gives access to, he said, is a new creation. And he boasts about that. He said, this is what matters, is that we now, by the virtue of our baptism and faith in Christ, by the gift of God, the kingdom of God is come among us and come upon us and is in us, because the King is dwelling in us, and what he's accomplished is what matters most. And we've been united to the new reality that Jesus himself has begun. Existence beyond death, a new creation, a new humanity, a fundamental and eternal reality of sharing in the life of God, which there's nothing greater, more important. So Paul's reminding them of that. But I think it's also very helpful to understand that the apostles would touch on these realities quite often, especially at the beginning of the letters that they give us, because they want us to keep it clear in our mind, obviously. Keep it clear in your mind, your mind's going to get renewed. And they want us to think about, like they regularly say, set your mind on these things. Think about these things. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Contemplate, meditate on the truth of what God has done in you, so that you can draw the intended strength that's present in that truth. You can live the truth. You start living in the reality of who God is. It's not just a distant thing that, yes, it's out there as part of the faith, but instead it's a lived experience. And the truth itself is an experiential reality in your life. You are experiencing, as I mentioned yesterday, as Our Lady was magnifying, Mary magnifies the Lord as she meets Elizabeth and goes to her, and from the heart, from the core of her being, she's proclaiming and magnifying, that is, she's delighting in, she's declaring, she believes in what God is doing in her and the meaning of it, and she tells others about it. So you see the condition of her heart. And when we're living in the truth, and when we know that the truth isn't just something, again, that's out there, but it's the truth that is in me, and that by God's grace, I've come to not only know and understand, but I'm actually living in it. I'm being transformed by it. And it sets a course for my life. It defines me, and it also sets the course of my ultimate destiny, which gives me and defines the purpose of my life here. And it reveals the amazing value of my life and the dignity that's there. There's always a battle in this fallen world, friends, and we're living through one right now that is an expression and a dimensions of that battle. It's very intense. Everybody feels the shaking that's going on in the nations. Everybody feels the stress and the division and the anger and the weight and the confusion and the kind of Tower of Babel craziness of, you know, language being turned inside out and upside down and division within people and families and the rest. It's a really difficult time. And you see the results of it in the intense problems with mental health and the rise of suicide and these kinds of things in the culture. Well, what the apostles know and understand and what they're giving to us is truth that if we take it in and we live in it and from it, we're going to experience the grace that comes with it, and that is strength to live with hope, to live with a renewed mind and a confidence in daily life that my life has purpose. So give an example here today, a couple of passages if I can get through both of them. One is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I've mentioned this in the past on the program. I love to just preach on this when I go places and do conferences because it's such a beautiful summary, and you can see the wisdom of St. Paul as he's preaching and teaching these things. So he's just describing in one simple paragraph, just a few verses, the full reality of what God has given to each person who's baptized into Christ and who we are, where we stand, what we've been given, and the enormous treasure that we now bear. Again, if we see this, we're going to understand, like St. Francis, you know, who had nothing in this world. He purposely turned his back on it, but he knew he was the richest of men. And his whole life was characterized by joy. Now, hardly anybody would want to choose how he was living. Most people would look at that and say, no way. It looks too difficult, too hard. And it would be hard for people to conceive the joy that's in it. Because, you know, where's all the pleasures? Where's all the entertainment? Where's all the comfort? Where's all the possessions? Where's all the things that give us the kind of joy that the world gives us? But St. Francis transcended that, and he became a sign of contradiction. That even though he was living in lady poverty, as he called it, and that his body was, you know, being put through quite a challenging way of life, he understood and he experienced deep within him the treasure of God's grace, the presence of Christ, and the gift that that was, and the overwhelming dignity that it bestowed on him, and the new power and the new capacity he received to live a new way of life in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit at work in him. So here's Paul. He says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord." So he's immediately, this is good leadership. He's identifying, who are you? Who's he speaking? You are the beloved of God. You are loved by God. And just that reality alone, friends, if we allow the Holy Spirit, and you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you to say, you know, I hear this, that we're the beloved, but boy, most of the time it just seems so far away and not a reality. Well, the Holy Spirit has been given and poured into our hearts. We'll see later in the Romans passage, the love of God is poured into us. And the Holy Spirit is given to us, friends, to manifest Christ and that love to us and to escort us into the love between the Father and the Son. And it's not just something that's going to happen sometime in the future after I die, but the transformational power and the experienced reality is meant to happen now in the Christian life. Christian life is not just a set of truths that we hold in our head, but it's a transformation. It's a new creation, as Paul said. He goes on, God chose you from the beginning. So friend, you're chosen if you've been baptized into Christ. You have been claimed by Christ as the priest who anoints you in baptism. He claims you. He chooses you. He draws you into his family. And he chose you, Paul goes on to say, to be saved. He has saved you from a life of meaninglessness, of hopelessness. He has literally drew you out of the pit of a death-directed destiny without hope, which is where all the angst and the alienation and the division and the depression and the despair that exists in the world, it comes from that pit. It comes from being separated from God. And we can see, even as humanity tries to create a reality and a kingdom and building towers of Babel to ourselves and exalting ourselves to give ourselves a sense of meaning and pride, it never works. It never works. Because the creature doesn't create ultimate meaning. It comes from the creator only, right? The source. Nothing else will satisfy and give us lasting meaning. So he's saying, you've been chosen by God who loves you, and in his love that he sent forth in his Son, he is saving you. He's drawing you out of that darkness, and he's bringing you into the marvelous light of the new creation begun in his Son, who's exalted at his right hand. He saved you from hell for heaven, separation from God to enter the family of God. And how did he do this? Through sanctification, Paul says, by the Spirit. Sanctification is a word that means set apart for God. You know, made holy. You who are unholy, I who was, you know, born into sin, he made me holy. How does that happen? Taking away our sin in baptism, that stain of original sin, that separation from God and the family of God. He cleanses us of all sin, and then he unites himself to us in that baptism in the Spirit. We have access to the Spirit given to us by Christ in baptism, and that's what makes us born again. And the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is what it means to be sanctified, to be set apart. This is God's action. It's not my accomplishment. It's my cooperation by God's grace with a work that he's doing. It's gift, right? We'll talk about that tomorrow. There's some beautiful stuff in the catechism that builds on these fundamental truths that Jesus and the apostles brought to us. So you're sanctified now. You're made a holy temple. For what? For belief in the truth. Friends, could our world be more confused? It's constantly talking about love and truth. Love is love. It's my truth, the rest of us. It doesn't change people, and it has no power because the words are being emptied, have been emptied. Belief in the truth. The truth is a person. The truth is God. God is the foundation of all reality. He's the source of being. Therefore, he's the source of meaning. And it's truth alone that he alone can give us. And so you've been set apart, made holy. Your eyes have been opened. You've been enabled by God's grace and power to come into the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the light of the world. The light is the truth that he brings, the life that's in him that is revealed to us that we can't access on our own strength. And then he goes on to say, Paul, this next sentence, and he called you, how? Through the good news of the gospel. These are the glad tidings of the gospel. Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to proclaim glad tidings. And some of the readings in the church this week are all about, daily mass are all about the sending and the mission and the bringing of the kingdom and the glad tidings. And the glad tidings is the good news about what? And Paul describes it this way, that you and I, that we can obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glory that he possesses. Isn't it interesting? Human beings, we all seek glory in this world. But the glory of God is something bestowed on us. The glory of this world is passing, it's fading. But the glory of God, eternal glory, it's going to last forever. And this is what we've been caught up in by the presence of God in us and ultimately we'll share in our destiny. So then he goes on to say, now take these truths and let them strengthen your heart. He said, therefore, that said, brethren, stand firm. You can stand firm now in the midst of the storms that are blowing. You can stand firm against all opposition. Just stand in these truths. You didn't create these truths. You don't have to make them accomplish what they state or what's, you know, their meaning, because it's real. It's rock solid foundation, unchanging, and it's defining who you are. So Paul says, hold on then. Stand and hold, just hold on to these traditions. Don't let go. Don't give up. This is what the enemy wants you to do. That's what Satan wants you to do. Now, this isn't for you. This isn't real. Give up, give in, surrender. You know, look for some other source of consolation. That's the kind of temptation that can come in times of difficulty like this. That's why we have to go back to the Word of God. Let it wash you. Let it cleanse you. Let it strengthen you. Let it give you a clear sense of your identity and the beauty and wonder of your purpose in this life and the kingdom to come. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.